The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
It is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, my favorite segment. I know that a lot of people enjoy jumping in and giving what they're beefing with today. And, of course, we're going to do that throughout the morning this morning. We're going to give our beefs at 8 o'clock, but you can call in and give your beefs at any time. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. You can also tweet us at HitThatLineAR. We'll also be joined by Adam Sparks of the Tennessean. He covers Vanderbilt over there in Nashville. And so we're going to get his perspective on the Commodores. What's going on with their season? They're 0-4 in the SEC as well. So it's a big game, maybe equally as big of a game for them between Arkansas and Vanderbilt. It's almost like a battle of who's the worst in the conference, as some people have put it. But hey, there's another team that's 0-4 in the conference right now, and that's Missouri. So, you know, they have company, but luckily for Arkansas, they have two of those games left against SEC opponents, and Mississippi State's only got one win in the SEC too. So opening up the schedule a little bit as well, which I know is going to be very important for how this team is going to end up finishing. So one of the things I wanted to open with today was talking about this game itself and how big of a victory or how big of a game it actually is for Arkansas. Because it's your best opportunity, perhaps your only opportunity, realistic opportunity, to get an SEC victory. And to avoid going 0-8 in the conference itself. Which, when you really dive down into it, is there really that big of a difference from going 0-8 or 1-7? Does it really make that big of a difference? Either way, you're not a good team. Either way, you don't feel great about the season. Either way, you don't feel happy or satisfied. But to me, when I look at both scenarios, which right now, either one could happen, and essentially hinges on this weekend. But what I see is that if you go 0-8, which we have seen before when Brett Bielema went 0-8 in 2013, it sticks with you. Not only going into the offseason and heading into next season, but if you're Chad Morris, it sticks with you for a good period of time. And instead of an SEC media days being asked about improvements and whatnot, when Chad Morris would take the podium, the majority of questions would be thrown to, well, about this 0-8 season last year. How are you going to overcome 0-8? Do you think you'll finally get your first SEC victory this year? It's questions that need to be asked, but it's almost embarrassing questions where you went through a full year and did not get one single SEC win. It's bad enough you lost to North Texas and Colorado State. But to add into consideration that you would go 0-8 in conference, losing to the likes of Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Missouri, doesn't exactly give you great confidence in the future. But that's the realistic scenario that we're looking at here. But if, and it is an if, Arkansas was able to beat Vanderbilt this weekend and get that first SEC victory, it wouldn't all go away. It wouldn't make everybody happy, but it would at least show a little bit of progress throughout the season, and you would be able to avoid the embarrassment of having to still go into your second season looking for your first SEC victory. The Arkansas Razorback faithful rushed the field when Brett Bielema got his first SEC victory against LSU in 2014. After 17 straight SEC losses. We can get into the semantics of whether or not that was actually a legit reason to rush the field, but they did, and it showed the excitement of how long it had been since they had that SEC victory. I don't think Razorback fans want to deal with that again. I don't think they want to enter into the 2019 season where they're at the midway point of the season and they end up getting their first SEC victory against somebody like Mississippi State. And then they feel, they're like, wow, it's been so long. We finally did it. It's been so long. It's not what you want. You know how that feeling is. You know how sucky of a feeling that is. And you know how embarrassing it can be to when you look back on your program, even though you're excited about that victory, if you look back on it and you say, it's really been that long since we've won an SEC game? Have we really fallen to this point where you've had two of arguably the worst stretches in conference history? And two of those stretches came within 5 years of each other? You don't want that. Chad Morris doesn't want that. This team doesn't want that. This program doesn't want that. This state doesn't want that. So how do you avoid it? How do you keep that streak from staying alive? The streak that no one wants. You take care of business against Vanderbilt this weekend. Easier said than done. Vanderbilt may not be a great team. They may be 0-4 in conference too. But as far as on the playing field, both teams are pretty even. Vegas essentially has this game as a pick 'em. Now, depending on which line you look at, some of them have Arkansas favored by one. Others have Vanderbilt favored by one, somewhere in that perspective. And that will make the difference if Arkansas can at least get the victory. It gets that out of the way. It gets the monkey off their back. And you know Chad Morris is going to remember his first SEC victory more than anything. How that could change everything. How that can motivate everybody that you finally got over the hill. That you're not a complete loser. You're not having to have loser talk every weekend. And I'm praying for it just for the sake of the radio show. Because it is tough enough having to go through six straight games like we had to do, saying, all right, well, Arkansas lost again. Here's why they lost. I'd like to mix it up a little bit. I like variety. Just like I don't like 11 a.m. games every Saturday, I also like having a variety where at least 1 week, one Monday, we can come in on the show and say, hey, this team got a victory in the SEC. Let's talk about it and how it changes everything. I'd like to have just one show like that. So maybe I'm a little biased. Maybe I'm a little selfish, but that's okay. You can be too, because you want to win. Everybody wants to win. Everybody enjoys winning. And if you beat Vanderbilt this weekend, it doesn't automatically put you in the driver's seat to beat LSU. But you go into the bye week on a two-game winning streak where you're one in, I guess at that point in time, you'd be 1-4 in conference. With at least two of your three games left being very winnable. Not saying you'd win them, but being winnable. And so just imagine, folks, just imagine this. You get the victory against Vanderbilt. You head into the bye week. You get your guys healthy again. You play LSU. You're not going to beat them. But maybe you play them close. And then find a way to win the next two games against Mississippi State and Missouri. Seems like a pipe dream, but just imagine if you didn't. How different everything would look heading into 2019. How different you'd feel about Chad Morris, where he was able to find some way to get three wins in conference, sign arguably the best recruiting class Arkansas has had in the modern era, and possibly add someone like Kelly Bryant. Makes all the difference in the world of winning this game against Vanderbilt this weekend for the Razorback football team.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Let's go to the phone lines. We are now joined by Adam Sparks of the Tennessean. Going to talk a little bit about Arkansas and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Adam, really appreciate you joining us. How are you doing this morning, man?
Hey, good to be on. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing awesome. And here in Razorback land, they desperately need an SEC victory, and I know Vanderbilt's in the same boat. But I want to start with the current state of affairs with Vanderbilt. Arkansas, we all know they got new coach Chad Morris. They're still trying to put some things together, trying to overcome some things. What's it like right now among the Vanderbilt faithful with Derek Mason and the job he's done this year and their current state of affairs? Are they happy? Do they care? What's overall going on over there in Nashville?
Well, frustrated, I think, would be a good word within the fan base. I would say among the players and coaches as well. Kyle Shermer's the quarterback. This is his fourth year starting. He's actually chasing Jay Cutler for the all-time school career passing record. This is one of the better players they've had in school history, and they thought this year could have kind of set up to get to a bowl. And that's usually kind of the ceiling for Vanderbilt: get to six wins in a bowl. Anything short of what James Franklin did a few years ago, that's the best you can hope for over the last few decades: get to a bowl game. They thought it was there. It's still statistically there. But you've got to beat Arkansas to do it. So I think a lot of the fans are looking at it saying this is kind of the last chance to make a little bit of a run with Kyle Shermer's senior year coming to a close.
Well, I'm looking at their schedule, and they played at Notre Dame earlier in the year, and it was such a close game, and I really thought that Vanderbilt was going to overcome some things, but then they lose to South Carolina, lose to Georgia, no shame in that, lose to Florida, and lose to Kentucky. They've lost to some really good teams, so you can't really say just that they've been an awful team, but what has been the problem? Is it just been offensively they have been able to get it going with Kyle Shermer? I mean, what's been overall the issues of why they haven't been able to win more games?
Yeah, the Notre Dame game was a tease, and now it's happened. What, four other five losses have been to top 15 teams, and that's just kind of what happens in this conference. The defense has been up and down. The new defensive coordinator this year, Derek Mason, had been his own coordinator. He hired Jason Tarver this year. The defense has been up and down. The run game, which was supposed to be a strength of this team, has been inconsistent. There's been some three fourth down top calls that Vandy has botched. One of them against Kentucky last week, where they had a fourth and one inside the 15. They get it. They could have scored, taken the lead over Kentucky. It's just little plays like that have separated them from wins. Shermer's been fine. He has one good receiver, one good tight end, Kalijah Lipscomb, Jared Pinkney. And they've had a hard time kind of finding other targets for him. It's not just one thing. It's a cumulative effect. They've had some bad injuries. But at Vanderbilt, any given year, you've got to be near perfect in a lot of games because you're usually outmanned to win games. And, they've kind of circled this one, I think, as this is the one you got to get if you're going to have a chance at a bowl game.
I've always been a Derek Mason fan. I always root for him. I think he's a really class act, and he's one of those guys that it fits like at Vanderbilt that you hope that they're able to be successful. But he's in his fifth year right now, and we always talk about hot seat rankings, and in the SEC, it's a brutal league. Is he on any sort of hot seats, or are they going to give him a few more years? I mean, what's it looking like for Derek Mason?
Well, he would be had he not gotten a contract extension the summer of 2017. So before going into last season, he had just come off a bowl game. They pushed his contract back to its original term. So he actually went into this season with 4 years left in his contract. He would have three going into next year. People are kind of fidgety about him. He's obviously only got to the one bowl game. It's a bad SEC record. The standards are different at Vanderbilt. So he's extremely likable, as you mentioned. But people want him to win. You need to win or we're going to get rid of you. It's more you need to win because we want to keep you because we like you for all other attributes that Derek Mason has. But he's got to do something. Again, the schedule is tough next year. He's losing a senior quarterback. And more importantly, Vandy is looking for a new athletic director. So whoever takes that job will come in and kind of be an evaluation process for Derek Mason next season.
Speaking with Adam Sparks of the Tennessean right now on the Morning Rush, talking a little Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Let's speak a little bit about the matchup against Arkansas. Obviously, these two teams don't play a lot. It just happens to come to this point in time where both of them are looking for their first SEC win. What do you think about the matchup itself against Arkansas? Ty Story, he was out last game, but it looks like they've got him back. Rakeem Boyd, that's kind of been their bread and butter. They've had their issues. They're not a great team, but they're feeling a little bit of confidence. What do you just think about the matchup itself against Arkansas for Vanderbilt?
Well, it seems like to me from afar off that the transition is maybe taking a better turn maybe these last two or three weeks. You know, coming into the year, looking at the transition from that pro-style offense to what Chad Morris wants to run and Joe Craddock. I know Joe Craddock well. I covered him when he was a quarterback at Middle Tennessee. You know they're going to get things turned around in the right way. There's just a lot of personnel that doesn't fit there. I think John Chavis has done a good job, started to give a little bit of an identity to that defense. I think they're probably looking at it a little similar to Vanderbilt, that they feel like they've got some pieces that can win games. They've just got to figure out how to get to the finish line. I'm curious to see what Arkansas does at quarterback. I know Ty Story is back, and he's been their guy all season. You know, Derek Mason yesterday actually said he expects to see Connor Nolan in there some, if not starting. He thinks he'll see at least two of the quarterbacks. So Vandy is preparing for that. I'm sure Arkansas will maybe feel it out and see who has the hot hand. But I think that's going to have a pretty big impact on the game of the quarterback play.
It's definitely going to come down to that. Do you feel confident, though, that as far as these two teams go, are you leaning more towards Vanderbilt being able to take care of business, or is it going to be a tough one since it's on the road? I don't think you expect a great atmosphere there in Fayetteville at 11 a.m. kickoff, especially with the way the season's gone. But are you leaning towards Vanderbilt in this matchup?
Well, I mean, it's if you look at the line of the game, I think Arkansas started off about a 2-point favorite. Vandy's now about a 1.5-point favorite. It's obvious the odds makers don't know what to make of it. I think it'll be a close game. If it's low scoring, I like Vanderbilt's chances. If it's high scoring, I like Arkansas's chances. We make picks in the paper here. I think I picked Vandy by a field goal, which I guess is kind of a funny pick because Vandy's actually had some issues either kicking field goals or deciding when to take them. So I guess I'm betting on Vandy figuring that out in Fayetteville. It's such a weird matchup because these teams have not played in a number of years. The two coaches have never faced off, so you don't really know what to expect. And I would expect just about anything to happen. Again, I think if this game gets up into the 30s, I like Arkansas at home, building some momentum. If they come out and play well at that 11 a.m. kickoff, if Vandy grinds it out and they keep it low scoring, I like their chances. And probably a game similar to what they played at Kentucky, I just think they would finish it off better.
Let me ask you about the SEC East, because we know the SEC West here in Arkansas and how tough it can be, and especially with Alabama in the division and Auburn and LSU coming along. But the SEC East, to me, has been pretty surprising, not just because, of course, Georgia has only got one loss, and Florida with Dan Mullen in their first year, I think he's doing a good job. But Kentucky only having one loss seems pretty crazy. South Carolina sitting at 3-3. Missouri yet to find their SEC victory. It seems like the SEC East is just kind of a crapshoot right now, and everything's really random and mixed up a little bit. What can you make out of this division, and what's actually going on over there?
Well, I think it is a crapshoot. I think it's a better crapshoot than it was maybe about two or three years ago. You know, in the East, a lot of people have said, and I'm one of them, that the East is never going to catch back up with the West until the three traditional powers, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, are back to kind of a top 10, top 15 status in the country. And you know, there's been a window now where teams like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri could make a little bit of a run, a little bit of a push, because those teams have been down. I think when Georgia finally kind of rose up last year, got the right head coach, that kind of put the others into action. Kentucky has kind of built this over the last few years. I'm not so sure it'll last beyond Benny Snell's senior year, but you know, Florida got the right coach in Dan Mullen. I think they're going to get back. Maybe Tennessee is the right coach. That's probably going to take a little more time. But I think the East is going to start to close the gap more with the West, but there's no Nick Saban on the East side, so I don't think they're going to catch up until he retires.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are waiting for the day that he finally retires so they can finally have a chance, that is for sure. And real quick, before I let you get out of here, Adam, and I really appreciate you joining us, I need to ask you about this Derek Mason-Dan Mullen deal, because that was so fascinating to me, because I would have never expected somebody like Derek Mason to have this type of verbal altercation. I know that's all fine now, and it's not a big deal, but what can you tell us about that? What happened, and what was the cause behind all of that?
Well, I mean, Dari Odingbo, who's one of Vandy's defensive linemen, he was down. Derek Mason says that a player from Florida started shouting at him. It's never a good setup when there's an injured player and there's some jawing back and forth where one coach is right along the other sideline. If that injury had occurred in the middle of the field, probably nothing would have happened. Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, got involved, and you can see that as clear as day on TV, yelling at the coaches. I wouldn't say what sparked it, but what it kind of kept it going is when it was obvious that coaches were going back and forth and Dan Mullen was held back, Dio Odingbo, who is the younger brother of Dare Odingbo, the injured player, ran out on the field. The rest of the team followed him, and it just kind of snowballed from there. It wasn't a good situation, but the fact that coaches separated the players by a few yards and there was never any contact of a fight, I thought was pretty incredible, because it looked like something was going to go down there.
Yeah, it certainly was interesting. I tell you what, I'm glad it didn't get into a physical altercation, but if it did, my money would probably be on Derek Mason in that one. He seems like a guy that could probably take care of himself.
Well, if you look at the video, his defensive line coach, C.J. Ayu, a former player at Nebraska, is who I'd put my money on. I think he would have protected Derek if he needed it.
Yeah, he had a nice security guard there, too, in case anything got a little too hairy. So, yeah, that was fascinating stuff. Adam Sparks of the Tennessean, really appreciate you joining us, Adam. It's nice to be able to catch up a little bit about this game, this matchup going on this week. I know Razorback fans are excited about it. I'm sure Vanderbilt is as well. Had good luck the rest of the way, man, and looking forward to catching up with you later down the road.
Okay, good deal. Good to be on.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's squeeze in a real quick phone call. Grant is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Grant?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You got the What's Your Beef session coming up. I've got a little beef with Nick, if I heard him right the other day. Tommy made a quick comment about having a respectable team and what that you know, entails. And he said that if Arkansas football team makes it to a bowl game, that's not really that respectable, because we kind of expect that. You know, we got to get past that. But then he related to the basketball team and said, you know, they made it to the tournament, and that was respectable. And I thought Nick kind of agreed with that. But my thought is, if the basketball team makes it to the tournament, that's like a bowl game to me. If you win, if you're one and out, and you lose, a respectable, you know, season for what we should expect for the Arkansas Razorback basketball team, I think, is to get, you know, a little bit deeper in the tournament before we say it's respectable. And I just think it's like going to a bowl game, personally. If we make it to the, you know, the first part of the tournament and lose, how's that respectable, and how's that different than the, you know, the football team making it to a bowl game? I mean, it's kind of what we should expect. And I thought, Nick, weren't you saying, I couldn't remember for sure if you were agreeing with that or what your thoughts were on that, but I just wanted to see if you could clear that up.
I appreciate the phone call, Grant. Yeah, clear that up, Nick.
Yeah, I got a little confused on that just a little bit. No, I don't think that making it to a bowl game is the same thing as making it to the NCAA tournament.
No.
And, you know, and with the scheduling and with you having guaranteed wins on there, I don't think that those two are the same. But after the What's Your Beef, then we can tackle that as far as comparing, you know, expectations for the basketball program and the football program moving forward.
Yeah, because I do want to definitely address that, because I think it is an important topic. But, yeah, it is time for What's Your Beef. So without further ado, let's get into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
That's a man. I could eat ball bears and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, so we're going to get into it, and I'm going to go ahead and kick us off. You know, we're coming up to a very special holiday, which I see that Nick is adorning his holiday spirit there with his black and orange get up there. So it is Halloween, though, and it's an interesting holiday for many different reasons. It's mainly for the kids and when they go trick-or-treating and all of that. I guess this is a two-parter when it comes to my beef. My first part is I don't have an issue with adults dressing up for Halloween as long as they're not trick-or-treating. If you go to a Halloween party, if you go to Dixon Street, or you go to downtown Little Rock, or you go to a house party or whatever, I don't have a problem with that. But apparently, as I found out on Twitter yesterday when I said that I'm going to go on Halloween as Baker Mayfield, people are saying, oh, you actually dress up still? Oh, yeah, I thought you were an adult. That's pretty sad. It's pretty pathetic. No, it's Halloween. I'm not going trick-or-treating. I'm going out, and there's going to be a costume party, and it's just part of it. Some people like to have fun on Halloween. And the fact that people have issues or take issues with those that dress up on Halloween is a little lame.
Are you dressing up for Halloween time?
No, because I'm 23
years
old.
Ask me.
Are you?
No.
Are you guys going? Did you guys get invited to a costume party, though?
You said you were just going to go to Dixon Street wearing that jersey.
No, not anymore. There's a Halloween party that I'm
going
to
go to. Are you ever
going
to return the jersey that I gave you for Halloween?
I still swear I gave that back to you.
Okay. But no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not dressing up. I think I kind of agree with.
Have you ever dressed up past the age of 18 for Halloween?
Yeah.
When was the last time you dressed up?
At my former boss's house, he had a Halloween party, and I went. But I mean, even dressing up, I took like a I don't even know, some type of garment from my ex-girlfriend and wrapped it around my neck, and it was black, like a cape, and I put on a mask and said I was the Black Batman.
So what did I mean? How creative. Mean, you know,
speaking of that, here Michael B. Jordan might be casted as Batman.
Yeah. Let's hold off on comments on that.
Yeah.
Till like the end of the show, because I have a lot of comments on that.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, yeah.
Okay. So when you say you're dressing up as Baker Mayfield,
yeah,
are you going like knee pads and like full? If you're just wearing a jersey, I think that's okay. But if you go all out, like the eye paint, the knee pads, like all that jazz,
well, no,
then we have a problem.
I'm not going with his knee pads and everything, but I am going with the jersey. I am going with the eye black, and I am going with his little whatever it's called, the skull cap. It's got on it too.
Okay. Well, we know Nick and I both know you like to take things to the extreme.
Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to dressing up, so
that's your personality too.
But here's the thing: if you get invited to a costume party, are you going to be like, "No, I'm not going to go because I don't like dressing up"?
I'm just going to be Black Batman.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but you still dressed up at something, even though you had the lowest form of it.
Maybe that's why my ex girlfriend broke up with me. Because yeah. I wouldn't
spirited enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at dressing up.
Yeah. You wouldn't Black Batman. So. Well, that's my first problem with it, is that people who are all upset. If you get invited to a costume party, I'm not saying, again, that you're going out trick-or-treating and hanging out. I think that it's fun to dress up in costumes as long as you have a reason to do so. Do one of those couples costumes if you even want to.
The costume party is kind of like the makes it a little bit okay, but if you were just going to, like, Dixon Street or something like that, then we have to draw a line somewhere.
Did you go to Dixon Street on Halloween at any point in time? Do you see that every single person on Dixon Street is dressed up for Halloween?
Yeah, but you're in college, so it's accepted. You're after
There's
college.
Not just people in college that do it.
I don't know. So
go,
it's
go
on
check
a,
it out.
It's on a, what's it, next Wednesday?
Yeah,
Halloween?
But you do it on the weekend. Like, you always celebrate Halloween the weekend before.
Hold on, so you're going to dress up on not Halloween day.
For the costume party, which is this Saturday, yes.
Is it in Fayetteville or here?
It's in Fayetteville.
So you're going to go to Dixon in your Baker Mayfield jersey after?
I don't know what I'm going to do afterwards, but maybe so. Maybe I'll get tackled by the cops.
Whose party is it?
It's a friend of mine's. I'm not going to give their name because then everybody's going to want to go. You know them, though.
It's exclusive, Nick.
You know them, though. That's why I'm not saying
we're not invited.
Yeah, because I don't want Nick Mason showing up as Black Batman to kind of take over the party. Start causing some noise.
Can you say that? Can you call me Black Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was politically correct. I didn't know if you can actually.
I don't know what's politically correct anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to roll with it. So the other part I have is the people, because I'm going to go anti-Halloween here. People that decorate trees for Halloween. And this can go for any holiday besides Christmas.
You have a hold on, you have a problem with that?
Yes.
So you will dress up on Halloween.
For a costume party, yes.
As a dirty 30.
Yep.
But you have a problem if somebody wants to dress their tree up a little bit.
I do. Because to me, it doesn't make sense because Christmas is the only type of holiday I feel like you should be able to dress up a tree.
Brett Good just tweeted at us. He said, John's going as Baker's underwear photo shoot.
Man, if I had the ability and the body to do that, I may consider it.
You definitely would.
Oh, I definitely would. I'd be that type of person.
You have ferocious jaguar behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Just not the paychecks.
I have a quick one, and everybody in the media has brought this up. I'm still beefing with the former staff. What the
BBB?
No. I was thinking of a more stronger word. But what in the world were they doing up here? As far as recruiting goes,
nothing.
And I don't know if I'm saying that because I'm looking at Chad Morris and what he's done. Just think about this for a second. And I know he was the OC at Clemson. That wasn't like recently. And everybody who he's recruiting wasn't playing high school football. So nobody he's currently recruiting was even playing high school football when he was the offensive coordinator at Clemson. So you're talking about a guy that won in 3 years. He won how many games at SMU? 11 total?
Yeah, he won.
What was
one,
it? 1-3-7?
No, 1-5-7.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking about a guy that won 13 games in 3 years and was at SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes to Arkansas, a team that just fired their coach and didn't do very well. And look at the recruiting class he's able to bring in. And then you just kind of look at what he was left with. And you look at what he's been able to do year one, and it's like, what?
What were you doing? You want to know my theory behind that? My theory is that when it comes to certain coaches, some coaches are hungry to prove themselves, which is Chad Moore, so he puts in the extra work, the hard work, to try to get the players in. I think that when Brett Bielema came in, he thought that the name and the record and him pointing to the fact that, oh, I've put this many people in the NFL when I was at Wisconsin, more people than Nick Saban, as he used to say, for that like short period of time. I think he thought that those things alone would recruit itself.
That's a good point.
And he didn't work as hard for it. Now, that's shocking to think that Brett Bielema didn't work as hard as somebody. But I think that was the part of it. And then with Chad Morris, the dude knows that, hey, I got to recruit my way, I got to find a way, and I still got to prove myself.
Either he's one of the greatest ever, or what you said is true. Because it could be something that we see over the next 15 years that if he continues to stay at Arkansas or wherever he goes, he just has dynamic recruiting classes just everywhere. But, man, it's tough for me to believe that what he's been able to do year one, getting the recruiting class, and then what he was just – left with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even coming in at the last minute and getting a couple of flips and getting a couple of kids committed that are on campus right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the way that he's been able to take care of this class, obviously addressing the needs for it, but the fact that Brett Bielema, he started off so strong in his recruiting. I mean, he was able to get Alex Collins and Denver Kirkland and Hunter Henry, guys that were really good pro players. But after that, I assumed, just from the way it looks at things, that he thought it would just take care of itself. Because, listen, at Wisconsin, you can do that. You can afford to do that. But in the SEC, in the SEC West, you can't stop.
Right.
You can't take 2 weeks of vacation after signing day. You can't do it. Just some of the things that Brett Bielema did. So that was my theory behind the whole deal. So do you have a quick one, Ty?
Yeah. Ordered a jersey for my stepmom for her birthday over in China. It's been a month. It's still not in yet. So
you're giving me crap for dressing up as Halloween, but you stairwell wore jerseys around?
No. Did you not hear what I said? I ordered a jersey for my stepmom for her
birthday.
What's
she? What jersey is it?
It's a Trent Richardson jersey.
She's a Trent Richardson fan?
She grew up in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh.
So last name Richardson now, so it's kind of cool.
But you still wear jerseys, though?
Yeah. No. But not often. So
I can't dress up for Halloween. He can wear jerseys.
Yeah, there's a discrepancy from being 23 and 30.
So at what age will you stop wearing jerseys? What's the cutoff?
29.
Yeah. Still saying he's in his 20s until then? Hey, ride it until you die.
Yeah.
Go on with it.
What'd you say? Jerseys are different from a jersey, right? That's the rule you make?
No, I mean, I don't like jerseys either. I don't care really wearing jerseys all that often unless there's a reason, like when we went to JJ's for the NFL game just for fun like that. I do it for fun. I don't wear it for style.
I like retro jerseys. That's well, yeah, I always wear those.
That's the way. So, anyways, that is What's Your Beef?
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.